But here's what we're going to do real quick. I'm going to show you a picture up here on the screen. And as soon as you recognize who that is, shout it out. Wait, don't start yet. Don't start out. But yeah. Okay, so ready? As soon as you recognize who it is, go. Okay, let me tell you about Elvis Presley. Let me tell you real quick about Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, his first time when he went to the Grand Ole Opry, and I don't know where that is or anything, you know, Nashville, how dingy I am, okay? So all the country people, Nashville, dude, Nashville, okay? Nashville, okay? But here's what he was told. He was told, you know what, that after his first performance, that you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck. Then afterwards, he was promptly fired. Who's this? Next. Who is that? That's Stephen King, amen? Stephen King, let me tell you about Stephen King. Stephen King, his first book was rejected 30 times, and his wife had to retrieve it out of the trash can, and they resubmitted it, and boom, he goes on to have the career that he's had. Who, next, who's this guy? Yeah, what's his first name? Yeah, that's Albert Einstein. I don't know if you knew this. Albert Einstein, did you know this? Albert Einstein didn't talk till he was 4 years old. So at 3 years old, this little boy is not talking. He didn't read until he was 7 years old. He didn't read till he was 7 years old. And many people thought that he was mentally handicapped. Boy, wouldn't you like to be mentally handicapped like Albert Einstein? He, of course, was a Nobel Prize winner, and he altered the world's approach of physics. I mean, just completely altered it. Who's this? Yeah, Walt Disney. You know what? This is so funny. A former newspaper art editor said this: Disney lacks imagination and had no good ideas. Is that a trip? Okay, who's this? You guys know who this is? That's Thomas Edison. Okay. His teachers told him that he was stupid and couldn't learn anything. Yeah. He went on to have over 1,000 patents and, of course, invented the light bulb, but he invented the whole lamp that, you know, I mean, we're still using lamps. He invented that, and among other things, and the first phonograph. Okay, who's next? Do you know who that is? Yeah, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, of course he started Apple, but I don't know if you knew this about Apple, but Apple, the highest that they had was about 10% of the market, and it went down to less and less and less. When they finally fired him from Apple, the PC market, Apple had less than 2%. He begged for his job, and they fired him. Wow. Of course, years later, you know what, he came back and was responsible for the development of the iPod, and now we have right? But here's the thing, it makes, how many of you have been, you know, I mean, he has significantly just blessed so many people. And you don't think of it that way, but man, he's blessed my life. You know what, I just listen to the word all the time, and it's just, you know what, I have all this stuff, you know what, on my phone. It's just such a blessing. Who's this? Do you know who that is? Yeah, the Spielberg. Did you know this? Spielberg was rejected not once, but twice from SC's film school. SC has a very, very accredited, very popular film school. They told Spielberg not once, but twice, you know what, you're not good enough for our film. You know what I mean? It's kind of ironic because years later, if you go to SC, there's a whole building that has his name that they donated. Boom. Guess what? Yeah. Who's this? That's Dr. Seuss. Yeah. That is Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss' first children's book was refused by 27 publishers. Who's this? Who's this? Okay. Oprah Winfrey. You know, let me tell you about Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey, you know what, was fired from WJZ-TV of Baltimore. And here's why. Here's what they said. For being too emotional and involved with the stories that she reported. Who's this? You know who this is? That's Sir James Dyson. Listen to this. Listen to this. Over 5,126 failed prototypes over 15 years trying to create the bagless vacuum. Over 5,000 times over 15 years, he created something that didn't work. Okay, now this guy's, you know what, I don't know how much he's worth. Yeah, and last but not least, you know this is, that's Winston Churchill. His first run for parliament, he failed. I said last but not least, I think this is last but not least. Okay, do you know who that is? Yeah, that's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was cut from the high school basketball team. Would you like to talk to that coach? You know what I mean? He's like, what were you thinking? But listen what he said. He said this: I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career, lost almost 300 games, 26 times missed the game-winning shot. I've failed over and over again in my life. Listen what he says. And that's why I'm a success. So a couple of weeks ago, there was some little game they played. What was that called? Super Bowl. And the Falcons played the Patriots. And it was so interesting because it was like, you know what, if you did anybody watch this? If you were watching the first half, you're like, oh my goodness. The first three quarters, exactly. It was like, oh man, this game is over. How many know it was not over? I want to talk to you today about down but not out. Can somebody say amen to this? Down but not out. Many of you think you're, whatever it is, many of you think you're too, you know what, it's you're down, you've been beaten, you've been, and all kinds of reasons, you've given up on dreams that you've had, and I want to throw this at you in a very practical way that I would teach you, no, you know, you might be down, but let me tell you what, you're not out. Amen? I'm here to tell you, you might be down this morning, but you're not out. And I want to give you some practical tips for you. Because let me tell you what, it is going to, you will play a pivotal role in you getting up off that canvas. You know what, can I tell you the truth? Can I tell you what God says about you? God says that you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, let's talk about how do we get off the ground? How do we do it? I want to let you know a couple of things real quick. Number one, you must recognize where you're at. You need to recognize where you're at. I guarantee you, you know what, the Patriots understood what the score was. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, that's negative. Well, It might be negative, but how in the world are you supposed to come out of it if you don't even know where you're at? You know, there are so many people, and listen, let me tell you what, it's hard for you, it's hard to come in grips with where you're at in your life. But can I tell you what? You're never going to fix a problem until you know where a problem is. You ever had a car and it's messed up and it's not running right and you drive it into the place and as soon as, you know what, the lights are flickering all the time. You're driving at night, the lights are flickering. It's like so frustrating. You're like, man, this thing's messed up. You drive it into the place and he goes, okay, go ahead, turn on the lights. And you turn on the lights and the lights are perfect. And he looks at you like, you know what, hey, dude, you know what, how in the world am I supposed to fix this? It's not even broken. It takes integrity, and it takes fortitude, and it takes a lot of tenacity for you to be willing to look at your life and say, you know what, I've got a problem here. But can I tell you what? Until you say that, until you recognize that, you can't ever fix a problem. Because you're just like, I'm fine. And all kinds of people around you are saying, oh, you're not fine. Amen? How many people around you know what's going on? Remember the story of a gentleman and the pastor asked him to become one of the elders. And he said, but to become an elder, I need you to sit down and be honest with you, tell you some things that I see in your life that you need to work on. So he set the appointment up. The gentleman came in. I mean, just wonderful Christian man. And he came in and sat down with the pastor. And the pastor said, you know what? You need to work on these three areas in your life. And he listed them out. And the Christian man, you know what, left the office offended. Because like, what in the world? You know, pastor's picking on me. And what, you know what I mean? But here's what he did. He thought, this is crazy. And he went to two of his best friends. And he went to his wife. Here's what he asked two of his best friends and his wife. Tell me if there's three areas that you thought I needed to work on, what three areas are they? And guess what happened? The wife said the same three things. His two friends said the exact same three things. And he got his attitude good with this pastor, recognized. See, his pastor wasn't trying to criticize him. His pastor saw areas in him that needed to be worked on, and he loved him enough to tell him those areas. Here's the thing. Do you have the integrity to be willing to ask your wife or ask your husband or even ask the Holy Spirit or ask your friends, hey, what are some areas that you... That's a tough question. Can I tell you what? You'll never fix a problem until you have the integrity to locate the problem. You know what? I have told you this story. It's a sad story, but it's a good story. When I was a freshman at Life Bible College, we had to take a placement test to see where we were in English, and I failed the placement test. I know that's hard for you to believe. I'm looking for an amen there. I know that's hard for you to believe. Amen. Here's all I'm saying. You know what? That was a good thing. Life Bible College wasn't trying to be mean to me. They recognized if we put you in an English composition class before you're ready for that, you're just going to fail. You know what? I hated being in that class. For the first 2 weeks, till I recognized, man, this is so helpful to me. You know what? I'm learning so much. And I've told you this story. You know what? Only knew her. She was only in that school for one semester. It was a semester that I failed, and I had her as she was a professor only for one semester. Her name was Dr. Best. I don't know who she is, but I thank God when I get to heaven, I'm going to look up Dr. Best because she was the best. Amen. Because she looked at me like I was a Yale scholar. And she didn't look down at us. She just built us up, you know what? And I got out of her class. And anyway, the point is, they weren't trying to be negative. They were trying to help. And I'm just telling you, you can't move if you're gonna because what? If you're on the campus like, no, I'm fine. I'm the world champion boxer, you know what I mean? Well, you're on the ground, you know what, getting, you know what, the tar beat out of you, and you gotta recognize where you're at. You think the Patriots were going, oh no, you know what? And I'm not saying that they weren't optimistic, but I'm telling you, they were very aware of the score. I guarantee you they were aware of the score. And all I'm saying is, you know what? You need to find what's going on in your life. Here, let me just ask you. I'm just curious. Is there anybody that doesn't need to do any improvement in their life at all? Please raise your hand, okay? I am setting you up. You know what I mean? Because listen, here's the thing. If you think that you don't have, you know what, blind spots, you're wrong. And here's the thing, too. It's deep. It's hard to recognize your blind spots. You know why? Because they're blind spots. I told you it was deep. But it is deep. Because the reality is, until you come to the reality, say, I need some help in this area, you can't move on. So what do you first have to recognize? You first have to recognize where you're at. You have to have the integrity to look at yourself and say, I need some help. Number two, you must believe the comeback is possible. Now, I'm not saying it's not an uphill climb. I'm not saying that the Patriots didn't go, oh my goodness, we got a lot of work to do. But I guarantee you that they recognize that even in the third quarter, after the Falcons went down and scored, they recognized, hey, there's a way out of this mess. Amen? Let me tell your story real quick. I'm not saying, listen, I'm going to sound braggadocious. I'm not saying this. This is a testimony of Christ. But if you come over to my home, we live in a very nice home. It's on a half acre of land. You know what? I got a barn. Ooh. Okay. And it's on a half acre of land. But you know what? 2,000 square foot house, but I've got a basement fully done that's another 2,000 square foot. I said, Pastor, what are you bragging? No, here. Here's what I want to let you know. And let me tell you how I got in that home. There were a lot of ways. I don't have time to teach it all. But one of the ways, I purchased a stock, didn't have a lot of money, but you know what? Long story, because the stock market kept on going up, and the Holy Spirit kept on saying, no. And then finally he said, yes. I purchased a stock. The stock went crazy. Over the next 2 years, went crazy. I sold the stock. You know what? I bought it almost at its low, sold it almost at its high. Bought it almost at its low, sold it almost at its high. And it helped us to be able to be in a very, very, very nice house. I say all that to say, you know what? God told me to wait. Had some friends come over. They brought some friends. We're in this conversation. I said, hey, do you know anything about the stock market? And the guy writes down the ticker symbol, says, buy as much of that as you can and buy it as quickly as you can. And that was what I was waiting for. I went to my wife and I said, that's what I think the Holy Spirit was waiting for. She said, absolutely. We bought that stock, but then after we bought it, it went down farther. What'd you do? I trusted in the Lord. I bought some more of it.
Oh, there it is. Come on.
I bought some more of it. I say all that to say, listen to me very carefully. I don't know where you're at, but for many people, they say, you know what? Well, that'll never happen to me. That'll never happen to me. You know, even, listen, you wouldn't say it, but some of you thought, well, oh, I wish that had happened to me. That'd never happen to me, man. Pastor got lucky, man. No, when I was early on in my Christianity, I listened to teachers who taught me the Word of God. Man. You prayed it this morning. You prayed. What was your prayer? You prayed that we are marked. Here's what she said. It was so good. She said, we are marked for victory. Now, let me tell you, I don't have time to teach that, but I'm telling you what, that I learned that. At 20-something years old, I learned that I was marked for victory. And I'd be walking around, you know what, driving a car Magia, acting like I was driving a Rolls Royce, you know what I mean? I remember when a lady came into my office, a good friend of ours came into my office. We had been here 6 months. You know what? I mean, the place was in shambles from one side to the other. Not because these people didn't love, but they were there before us. You know what? They absolutely loved Jesus. Matter of fact, they were the reason this church was still in existence. Thank you, Jesus, for those strong leaders who did not quit. And I thank God for them. But because of declining roles, there was a lot of work. How many know you can't buy a door for 38 cents anymore? You know what I mean? And so we took over, you know, but we went in, you know what? So she came into my office and she, you know what? And I was like, man, we're going to minister a lot of people and God's going to bless us. And blah, 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 blah. She was years later, she told Tamara and I, when you were talking, I was like, oh my God, does he not know what's going on around here? No. I saw it all. But I saw something else. I knew that we were marked for victory. You know what I mean? All I'm saying to you is you might be down, but you know what? You need to put on that Superman cape and recognize that the same spirit that was inside God that raised Jesus from the dead, that same spirit is inside you. You are marked for victory. God didn't create you to fail. God didn't create you not to be a life changer of the people around you. God didn't create you not to make a difference. And you've got to recognize that because, and you look at the circumstances. Hey, circumstances, smirkumstances. It's ridiculous. Who cares? You know what? Greater is he who's inside you than he that's in the world. Amen. You know what? For the just walk by their faith. We put our trust in God. We're not moved by what we see. We're down, but we're not out. And you've got to believe that. It's so critical. I love what my wife said. You know what? Paul, who was rooting for the Falcons, later on didn't like what she said. But here's what she said. She said, she looked at the score and she said, well, you know what, just kind of like, you know, you don't know anything about football, you know what I mean? But here's what she said. She said, well, if the Falcons scored 21 points in one quarter, the Patriots could score 21 points in one quarter. See, here, amen. So let me say it like this. Let me say it like this. And guys, just so you know, if you're a Patriots lover, we love you. If you're a Falcon lover, we love you too. It's not about the Falcons and the Patriots. It has nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, you know what? I found out the quarterback, I was never really a Raider fan till I found out that the quarterback for the Raiders is a Christian who loves Jesus with all his, you know, the guy that broke his leg? You know what? Loves Jesus with all his heart. Amen. And all of a sudden, so what's my point? It's not about the team. It's about giving you a practical application that, you know what, you are down, but you're not out. You're down, but you're not out. Look at Matthew. I have it up here on the screens. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, the centurion has somebody sick to the point of death at his house, says, Jesus, you don't need to come. Just speak a word. Jesus marvels at his faith. Only two places where Jesus marveled in the New Testament. One is at their unbelief one time. He marveled at their unbelief. And then another time, it's right here, he marveled at this guy's faith. He says, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. His appointment, as you have believed,
so let it be done unto you. Listen, you know how many times in the New Testament, after someone gets healed, Jesus stops and he says this. He says, you know what? Let me tell you why you're healed. You're healed because of your faith and trust in me. Here's what I'm saying. Your marriage might be messed up. Your finances might be messed up. Your kids might be messed up. Your grandkids might, you might be in a situation, I don't know where you're at. You might be in a situation where you think there's no way out. Listen, listen. You have got to change how you think. Because let me tell you, here's what the Bible says. You know the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. But you know the Bible also says, listen to this, listen to this. All things are possible to those who believe. Here, let me show you. Look at miracles. Look at this. It is in Mark. Mark, the last chapter, chapter 16. And look at this. And he said, this is Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know this. Watch this. Oh, Pastor, I know that scripture. I know you know it. You know you can know a scripture so well that you don't even know what it says. I know this. Amen. Y'all already learned something? Watch this. He who believes. Not everybody. But Pastor, I thought God loves everybody. God loves everybody. But if you want to get in his family, you've got to believe. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Next verse. And these signs will follow all the Christians because God just loves everybody. See, we need to read the words because this is Jesus teaching us good theology. Here's what he wants. You know how many times Jesus chastised the apostles for not believing in him? Can I tell you something? Doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief is a sin. These signs will follow. Not everyone will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, your belief is critical to your victory. I'm going to say that again, give you another chance to say amen. Your belief, your trust in God is critical to you walking in victory. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, you know what? But I live in a small apartment. I'll never have a house. No. You know what? Say this. Say, God meets my needs according to his riches and glory. Say that. So, but Pastor, you know what? I'll never. You know what? I've had this sickness for so long. I'll never. No, stop saying I'll never. See, start saying this. By his stripes, I'm healed. Start to say what God says. Amen? Stop thinking. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm always going to have this weight. I've always had a weight problem. Stop saying that. Amen? Start saying, no, I'm in health with long life. God will satisfy me. See, that's what God is saying over you. Let's say what God says. Let's start believing. We're down. I'm not arguing you're not down. I'm just declaring you're not out. That's what I'm saying. Are you learning something today? I'm just saying you're not out. That's what I'm saying. Okay, number three. You want to get up from the canvas? You've got to see it. You got to see it. Genesis chapter 15, quickly. Genesis chapter 15? Yeah, 15, verses 1 through 5. Let me read it to you. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, look what he says. He's down. He's got all these reasons to tell God that, you know what you said ain't going to happen. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I am childless? And The heir of my house is, okay, good, moving on. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, no one born in my house is my heir. How in the world? Hey, it doesn't look good, right? See, here's your argument. Your argument is, but pastor, look at this. I'm saying stop looking at that. Start looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher, and perfecter of your faith. Amen? Watch this. Behold, yeah, next verse. Then he brought him outside. Why is he bringing him outside? Here's why. Because, you know what? Sometimes, watch this. You ever done this to your children? They're like, ah. You know what I mean? And you take their head and you go like this. You go, look. You ever done that? Okay, that's what Jesus is doing. He's taking them outside, and here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? Because sometimes, hey, can I do? Sometimes we just have tunnel vision. Sometimes like, you know, listen, if you are in a rut, maybe you are down because you just, I can't get up. Like the guy who was at the pool, you know what I mean? And you know what he says? He's got Jesus in front of him. And here's what he says. I don't have a man. He's got Jesus in front of him. See, and listen, and we laugh because here's what I'm saying to you. Guys, here, watch. Here's what I'm saying. You got a man. His name is Jesus. God is for you. He's not against you. Listen, some of these dreams that you want, can I tell you what? He put them in there. He put those dreams in there. Amen. So he brings them outside and says, look now upward. Look now towards heaven. Look up and count the stars if you will be able to number them. And he said to him, so let your descendants be. You got to see it, guys. You got to see it. You have to see it. Listen, you need to read a book? Read a book. No, really, read a book of someone. Oh, Pastor, I'll never be able to start a business. There are people, there are immigrants that have come from different countries. They've been here for 5 years, and they already own 3 businesses. See, here's what I'm saying. Read a book, amen? Get inspired, amen? See, why? Because you need to see, you need to change what you're looking. You know what? Read a book. Amen. You know what? Look up somebody. Pastor, but I'm 50 and it's too late. You know, get on the internet and type in, you know what? People who did incredible things after they were 50. You know, people who did incredible things and they were raising 3 kids by themselves. People who do incredible things and whatever your deal is, but get your eyes off what is and get your eyes unto Jesus. Start to look up and see what God has for you. Amen. Are you learning something today? Get some, love you guys, get some help. No, you really, get some help. You know, the Holy Spirit's called the helper. Maybe it's simple as you crying out, stop running your days, stop doing your thing, stop running out the door without Christ, take some time, take at least 15 minutes and stop, turn the iPad, iPhone, turn it off and get to the one who can direct your path and say, God, I need some help. You know what? Me and my husband just are like this all the time. I need some help, God. Can I tell you something in my prayer life? Here's what moment my prayer life used to be. Gotta go. Gotta go.
And at some point in time, I recognize, here's the problem. You're doing all the talking, and you're not doing none of the hearing. And so here's what I started doing. I started going, and there's nothing wrong with asking for God. He loves when we ask him for things. But when you ask, then spend a little bit of time and be quiet and let him speak and give you direction. Ask for help. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. That's what the Bible says. Amen, are you learning something? Okay. And finally, oh, I love this. Listen, and finally, eliminate plan B. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to give you a chance to say him. Eliminate plan B. Listen. Can I be straight up with somebody? Okay, listen. In your marriages, take divorce off of the table. I'll tell you what, I'll forgive them as soon as they ask for apology. You need to apologize first, because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, and I you know what, and because I'm a Christian, man, and I will forgive as soon as they apologize. Listen, you got the plan B baked in the cake, dude. You got the plan B. You're already on the boat of escaping the island. Burn the boat. Amen. You know what? Be fully committed to walking in the love of Christ. I'm going to forgive them no matter what. I'm going to forgive them even if they don't ask for forgiveness. Oh, here, I'll give you. I'm going to forgive them even they keep on being a snot. Snot is a good word. Amen. All I'm saying is get rid of the plan B. You know what? Here's what Jesus says. Look, this is so intense. Look what he says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Look what he says. But Jesus said to him, no one. Everybody say this. See, you know what no one means? Whenever you see no one, understand what it's saying. Here's what it's saying. You are not the exception. That's what it means. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I've had people who've joked around with me. They've known stupid things that I've done in my past, and they joke around with me. Oh, remember when this, remember that? And I sometimes, if I know I'm good enough, I'll just say, shut up. I said, if I know him well enough, amen. Why do I say that? Here's why. Because I don't want to be reminded of who I was. Who I was is not who I am. And who I am is, you know what, where I'm going. You know, Tamara and I, we're all in. God had called us to the church, so when we sat down with the leadership of this church way back when, and they said, oh, by the way, we want you to become pastor here. Oh, but one more thing, but we, you know what, but don't quit your job at Albertsons. Because we can't afford to pay your benefits, your medical benefits. Oh, and we can't really even afford to give you a full-time salary. You know what? That's not the time that I threw up my hands. You know what? Well, listen, let me tell you what. When you get it together, come to me, because I'm valuable. That's not what I said. Why? Because you know why? Because we were all in. See, get rid of the backup plan. Okay. Is God speaking to us today? Who's God? Raise your hand if God spoke to you today. Understand, there's some practical things that if you will put in place, if you will recognize where you're at, you know what? Don't get discouraged. Put your trust in God. Start to visualize, you know, in a practical way. You can do that by just reading your Bible. You know what I mean?
You know, stop coming up with a plan B. You know what? You can get out of this mess. And can I give you one more point? When God gets a lot of glory in seeing the underdog come back. You know, here's what the Bible says. He doesn't use many people that are wise. You know what? I don't know why, but ever since I was little, I always liked the misfits. Am I the only one? You know what? When I was in high school, I was very popular, and I was like, you know what? Everybody liked me and stuff. But you know who I liked? I liked the dorky people. I still like the dorky people. Amen. But you know, can I tell you what? God uses the dorky people. You know what? Matter of fact, I feel inspired. We're going to change our name. The Church of the First Dorkies. All I'm telling you is, listen. All I'm telling you is that you're down, your being down is just a place to glorify God. Oh, man. I need to get this CD. Amen. Did you learn something today? Yeah.